Ben Ryder is the host and producer of The Edge, 6-part documentary podcast that investigates the cheating scandal of the Houston Astros. 2014, Ben had written a Sports Illustrated cover story that predicted the Astros would win the 2017 World Series, which they did. Then he wrote a best-selling book called Astro Ball, The New Way to Win It All. And now he joins us on Scoops with Danny Mac. And Ben, first of all, congratulations on the podcast. I listen to podcasts all the time. This is one of the best I've ever listened to. It is fascinating. What do you think about what has transpired since all this has come down? And congratulations on the podcast, too.
Well, thanks so much, Dan. I appreciate it. And I have a lot of thoughts, obviously, on what has transpired with the Houston Astros. This was a story and a subject that I had been reporting on, had been writing about, as you said, for years and years, since 2014, when I first went down to Houston to embed with the front office when they were still the worst baseball team in 50 years. I wrote about their rise. I wrote about how their new strategies and techniques, leveraging analytics and the human factor to get the best out of both, turned them from a laughingstock into a champion. What I had not seen and what the world had not seen was where their sign-stealing scandal fit into this picture. This was really my task in going back to this story and feeling a great responsibility to get to the bottom of what happened and contextualize it both in the organization's rise and in the larger scope of Major League Baseball and how the game is being modernized. There are a lot of benefits to that, as we've seen, but there are some costs to it, too. And that's really what I've investigated here.
When you heard that they had cheated, what was your initial reaction when you heard that?
There are really two parts to it. One, I was blindsided by it. I was hit by a ton of bricks because I had spent so much time diving into this organization, figuring out what made it tick. So I was as surprised as anybody, maybe even more surprised when that story came out exactly a year ago. But the other part of my reaction was that I wasn't shocked that it had been the Astros to do this, if that makes any sense. And I quickly started thinking about really what their process was all about. It was about finding an edge anywhere that they could, whether that was in drafting players, whether that was in on-field strategies, really pushing whatever competitive advantage as far as they could, farther than other teams were doing. That was their marginal advantage. And I really started thinking about sign stealing, which, as you know, is an age-old tradition in baseball, and thinking, you know, was this just another area in which the Astros pushed further than anybody else? I think there is something to that. I think there's something cultural that contributed to this. But as I investigate in the podcast, there were a lot of other factors, too, both specific to the Astros and also present in baseball at large.
So you did have some suspicions then? When, you know, so you hear about it, but you kind of think back and you go, well, maybe I did have some suspicions as I reflect on this.
I didn't have any suspicions that they were specifically sign stealing. And I spent a lot of time going back through, you know, hundreds of pages of notes and interviews, and even listening back to my old interviews that I'd recorded, some of which I play in the podcast, to see if there's any thread that I might have pulled that would have unraveled the sign stealing scheme specifically. And I can honestly say there wasn't. Clearly, some of the things that players said to me, that executives said to me, took on a different weight in light of this news. But I was never in any position, as nobody was, including people in the organization, to have uncovered the specific scheme itself. What I felt like I could have been more critical of or interrogated more was the process, was the costs of this program that they'd put in, kind of bringing Wall Street, Silicon Valley strategies to baseball, and, you know, maybe looking deeper at some of the repercussions this might have had generally. Those are things that I spent a lot of time on in the past year reporting and making this podcast.
How about when Dave Tremblay says, "What took you so long to call me?" You know, he says, "Hey, I was ready to talk." Did you find that more people in baseball were ready to say, "Yeah, I do want to talk about this"?
On some measure, and Dave Tremblay, who was, you know, the third base coach and bench coach with the Astros kind of early on in Jeff Luno's tenure under Bo Porter before A.J. Hinch came in, he was someone who had a lot to say critically of kind of the nature of Jeff Luna's program, to be quite honest, kind of the change that he was so fixated on bringing to baseball, and which resulted in a lot of positive developments as well, as far as helping players get the best out of themselves, things like that. Obviously, bringing a world championship to Houston. But yeah, I mean, Dave Tremblay is a guy that I certainly wish I had talked to early on. I did talk to dozens and dozens of people within the organization. I think I counted 46 of them. I think that's the number that I spoke with for Astro Ball. But there were certainly more people I could have talked to. At the same time, it was a very different landscape when I was writing my book and doing my initial reporting on the Astros. They were a meteor, right? Between 2014 and 2017. I'm not sure that, you know, the critics would have been quite as outspoken as they are now.
When did you talk to Jeff Luno for this podcast? Because some of it seems to be, it sounds like, fairly recent, or is that from some of your previous conversations, whether it be for the book or other things that you did?
So I talked to Jeff Luno for a total of 5.5 hours for this podcast, and you hear a good portion of it, obviously not anything approaching to all of it, but we did one session in July, and then we did one session in September, I believe. And the September one really dove more into the sign-stealing scandal and what he knew, or in fact, what he didn't know. And the July session was more background sort of things. But you hear a lot. And Jeff Luno is very open and very honest with his side of the story in this podcast.
It's incredible how open he is. I'm not sure I believe him that he didn't know to the extent that they what they were doing. I'm not sure what you feel about that, but I'll ask you, how much do you think he knew?
Well, it's a complicated question. You know, I'll say that I did not just speak to the people that you hear on the podcast. I spoke to many, many, many more people, many people who are very close to this, and I didn't hear one person say, I know Jeff Luno knew about this, right? I heard a lot of people say, my personal opinion is that he did not know what the team was doing as far as the trash can banging, what his video room was doing as far as code breaker, you know, hacking other team signs through the use of the replay review system. Look, MLB interviewed dozens and dozens of people. They looked at tens of thousands of documents. They couldn't conclude definitively that Jeff Luno knew about this either. But I'm not sure that that's the ultimate question, right? Whether he knew or not. I think another equally important, if not more important question is, should he have known? Should compliance with the rules have been more of a priority? Should he have been scrutinizing his players and his staff more directly? Should he have had more oversight over what the people who work for him were doing? And as he even admits in the podcast, he wishes he had done a lot more of that. And I think that is certainly the responsibility of a general manager, no matter how many people he's overseeing, no matter how busy he is. So this is not to absolve him of responsibility. In fact, I think that he bears a lot of responsibility. He's certainly taken that as far as his punishment and his reputation. But it does suggest to me that there's more blame to go around for this. If you're really looking for a full understanding of how it happened, than to just pin it on Jeff Luno and move on.
Ben Ryder is the host and producer of The Edge. Again, a 6-part documentary podcast investigates the cheating scandal of the Houston Astros. It is fascinating. As you tried to approach players, current Astro players, were any of them receptive to at least talking on or off the record for this?
You know, I did not, as I said in the series, I was not able to get a single Astros player on tape, unfortunately. I did dive pretty deeply in episode 3 into, old interviews I did with Carlos Beltran.
I love that. Yes.
And reporting around Carlos Beltran and the incredible influence he had in that clubhouse. And most people will say, I mean, Carlos Beltran is a great leader. He's a man of integrity in most respects. He helped the younger players prosper and help that team win. Maybe they wouldn't have won the World Series without him, even if you set aside the sign-stealing piece, which is a major piece of it. But look, he had this influence over a young clubhouse, and there's no question that he was one of the ringleaders of this sign-stealing scheme. He's a complicated character. Now, for the rest of the current players, I tried. I reached out to many, many of them, many of whom I'd spent time with before. Some of them said they couldn't talk. Some of them wouldn't get back to me. Is that because they were officially banned from commenting on this? I think that's a possibility. Is it because they don't see much personal upside in it? I think that's a possibility too. We've seen some players been outspoken here and there, Carlos Correa being the leading example. But I think there are many, many pressures that are preventing players from the Astros from providing a full accounting from their perspective of why they did what they did. Now, I happen to think that in the podcast, I present a pretty full perspective on that anyway, without their participation. But I'd love for someday for somebody to come out and lay it all out on the table in an honest way. I think that's still coming.
I think it was really fascinating, too, Chase Utley, his perspective being a member of the Dodgers, and you got him to talk about sitting in the video room for hours trying to break down what the Astros were doing. Because, as he mentioned, the rumors were swirling, and, you know, people kind of had an idea that something fishy was going on, but they weren't sure what it was. And I guess, and you can explain to this to our audience, Ben, they knew something was there, but he couldn't quite pin it down. Is that fair to say?
That's fair. And, you know, Chase Utley is kind of the Carlos Beltran of the 2017 right. Dodgers, former five-tool superstar who was the veteran leader of the team, wasn't playing that much, but everybody listened to him, and he had that influence. And yeah, it's almost like a detective story, right? In my podcast, heading into the 2017 World Series, with Chase Utley being Sherlock Holmes, scouring hours and hours and hours of video of their upcoming opponent, the Astros, trying to figure out what they were doing. And he said, look, I could tell that something was fishy. He said the way that they would consistently lay off really good breaking balls. Maybe they're good hitters, right? So maybe that happens sometimes. So to Utley, the consistency with which they were doing it suggested they were getting some advantage. But he couldn't figure it out. And he tells me he spends the whole World Series, you know, looking around, looking in the dugout, looking at the outfield wall, trying to pick up something they were doing. And he couldn't pick it up. And he didn't know what they were doing until the story came out of the trash can banging in 2019. Now, as far as specifically the World Series, Utley's still not certain that they were actually successfully stealing signs. He's still not sure what they were doing in the World Series. That's one of the things that is unclear. It doesn't seem as if they were banging the trash can, according to any of the evidence during the World Series. Were they doing something else? Well, it would have been very hard in that atmosphere, and Utley says he doesn't know. But again, that doesn't mean that that 2017 World Series, which once seemed like such an accomplishment, such an achievement, such a joy for the city of Houston, will ever be looked back on in a way other than being tarnished.
In your podcast, you caught up with Chris Correa, formerly of the Cardinals. You can imagine people here in St. Louis that would catch their attention. What was that like, catching up with Chris Correa?
Well, you know, I didn't speak to Correa for this podcast. I believe I was the only journalist to have visited him in prison. When he was in prison in Maryland, I visited him in 2018 and sat down with him for about 3 hours. And I wrote a story for Sports Illustrated that you can find online about how Chris Correa made this mistake and slid down the slippery slope that took him from the Cardinals front office to federal prison. You know, I think in retrospect, he really served as almost a model for how this could happen in a more severe way, obviously, with much bigger repercussions than happened to anybody on the Astros, but kind of a model as to how competition and getting caught up in competition and kind of not seeing the line between gamesmanship and something much more sinister, assisted by modern technologies that can now allow people to take that sort of activity to another level. I think he's a model for how that happened.
Do you have any idea what he's doing now?
You know, I do on some level. I know that he is out of prison. I believe he's still on supervised release, and I think he's trying to get his life back together.
Yeah.
Far away from baseball, that's for sure.
Yeah, I would imagine. I thought the really interesting part of this was when you went back and talked about the history of sign stealing in baseball, which has been around forever. It's part of the game. But talking about Bob Feller coming back from his his service for our country and using what would be the equivalent of like a telescope to try to steal signs. And then Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world may have been caught on by him knowing signs. I mean, it's been around forever. It's just the Astros took it to this technologically advanced stage that's incredible now in 2020, but then 2017. But it's been around forever, and you were able to kind of capture that in this podcast.
That's right. I mean, the first recorded incident of sign stealing was in 1876, in the very first year of the National League, when a team had a box attached to a telegraph pole and somebody next to the field, and somebody was up in that box with binoculars hacking the other team's signs. What I wanted to do in that section, which is besides being a very entertaining section to me, was to establish that this has been a long tradition in the game. And for most of the game's history, it was a matter of ethics. It wasn't really even a matter of rule breaking. Now, MLB did ban the use of technology to steal signs, technology or devices, in the year 2000. So this was against the rules, but still no individual had ever been punished for using technology to steal signs until the Houston Astros, right? Like it had been going on for so long, but in practice, it was really a matter of ethics, not rules. Again, this is not to absolve the Astros of what they did. It's kind of to show how they took what had been an age-old, almost valued tradition in baseball and used technology to weaponize it to a degree that nobody ever had before.
You know, you were talking about Correa earlier and just the sinister aspect of things, and you really got into the podcast about the Osuna deal to get the closer that had the checkered past and to bring him on board, and how inside even the Astros organization in their front office, there was, you know, some that wanted to make that move, others did not. And that's kind of, I think, the interesting part of the podcast, where, not to say that it got to be divisive, maybe it did, but just explain that a little bit and how that kind of opened up maybe some of the wounds of what happened with in this podcast and what happened with the sign stealing.
Sure. Well, you know, my book Astroball came out in July of 2018. And 3 weeks later, the Astros made this really controversial, divisive move when they traded for Roberto Osuna, great closer, 23 years old, the fastest, the youngest pitcher ever to reach 100 saves. But they traded for him while he was in the middle of serving a 75-game domestic violence suspension while court proceedings were ongoing in Canada, because he was a manager. He was a member of the Toronto Blue Jays at the time. And even as I was kind of promoting my book, this was the moment where I stopped and I said, man, this surprises even me. How far will this organization go in its pursuit of winning, in its pursuit of an edge? And I think that there's a direct line that you can draw between that move and then the incident in the clubhouse during the World Series last fall, where the assistant general manager kind of yelled at a female reporter about the acquisition of Roberto Osuna, saying he's so glad they did it, kind of yelled at her in the middle of the clubhouse, which created its own scandal, mini scandal that threatened to overshadow the World Series in part and turned a lot of the world against the Astros organization. And then what came out a couple weeks later with the sign stealing and the reaction against that. There's really a through line here of an organization that's really willing, or for whatever reason, tests ethical boundaries and upsets a lot of people in the process.
There's no doubt. What did you think of Alex Cora getting back in the game? And what do you think of AJ Hinch being back in the game?
I'm not surprised at all. First of all, I will say that unlike Jeff Luhnow, we know that these guys knew about it, right? Alex Cora was one of the ringleaders of both the video room scheme and the trash can banging scheme. He was involved in both of them. AJ Hinch has admitted many times that he knew about it. He feels like he should have stopped it. You know, he kind of made some efforts to do it a little bit. He destroyed the video monitors they're using a couple times, and they didn't go much further than that. But yeah, they're back, and I think there are a couple reasons for it. First of all, they did pay a significant penalty, right? Being suspended, being fired, losing a year in the majors, that's a pretty significant penalty. So I think they did their time. But at the end of the day, I think they're viewed as, you know, good baseball men. They obviously have a winning track record. They were players themselves. They're well-liked around the game. My personal opinion and what I've heard is that Jeff Luhnow, who never quite shed his outsider status, even though he's been in the game for 16 years now, starting in St. Louis, I think he'll have a much harder time being brought back into the fold. On some level, I'd be surprised if it ever happens.
Yeah, and with $22 million lawsuit, I would assume that that's not going to help either. Would you agree?
No, certainly. If you sue a Major League Baseball team for $22 million, and he's suing them because he was fired for cause, you know, even though he can plausibly argue that he didn't know about what his team was doing, the owner of the team, Jim Crane, fired him for cause, which includes kind of tearing up the contract that was due to pay him $22 million over the next several years. So that's why he's suing. I'm not sure about this. We didn't talk about it. I didn't know the lawsuit was coming when I interviewed him. But part of the calculation could be, you know, well, you know, I'm unlikely to get a job back in Major League Baseball. So I think that this potential financial gain, or at least the financial aspect of what was taken away from him, certainly plays a role in that calculation.
What has been the reaction in and out of baseball to your podcast, from players to owners, front office people, writers, all those fans? What's been the reaction to this?
You know, I'll tell you, I knew that I was kicking the hornet's nest with this one, Dan, right? And my only goal was to tell the truth, was not to be pro-Astros, not to be anti-Astros, not to be pro-MLB, not to be anything, just down the middle truth. I expected there to be a lot of blowback because obviously fans are passionate about their team, but there really hasn't been. I've been heartened by that people find it to be a very fair telling, including a lot of news, a lot of things they didn't know, of this really historic moment in baseball and this historic scandal. What I really wanted to do is shine sunlight on a lot of things that remained in the darkness, I felt, even, you know, a year after this story initially broke. And it's good to know that, you know, those efforts can still be rewarded in our world.
And finally, do you think this goes away when fans are back in the stands and Altuve, Correa, Bregman get in the box? Do you think fans forget? I don't. I saw it in spring training. I was doing the games. They were getting booed. People were smashing the back of the seats during spring training games. I don't think it goes away. What do you think?
I don't think so either. A lot of people were saying, oh, they got a break, right? Like, if there's any group of people in the world who could find some silver lining whatsoever in this horrible pandemic year, it's the Houston Astros, because they did not have to face the music as far as opposing fans. I think they're only delaying it, right? I think these guys have become the villains of baseball. And as Dave Tremblay says in my podcast, these guys are going to have to live with this for the rest of their lives. And I think they will in some respect. I don't think anybody's ever going to look back at what was once such a great team, such an inspiring story of an underdog kind of coming out on top. Nobody's ever going to look back at this story the same way. And no matter what they do for the rest of their careers, this is always going to be with these guys.
It is absolutely awesome. Just fascinating. Ben Ryder, my guest, the host and producer of The Edge. I would advise and recommend everybody to get it, download it, listen to it. 6-part documentary podcast that investigates the cheating scandal of the Houston Astros. Ben, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on the podcast and wonderful work. It is really, really good.
Really appreciate that, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Thank you.